conversations with my husband, our journey to healthy conflict, episode 148. Welcome to the Awaken You podcast, where we break down relationship barriers by awakening your true you. I'm Coach Christine, and the two of us will be doing this work together because this process isn't about changing your partner. It's about discovering who you are so you can awaken you in your marriage. Welcome, Awaken You Marriage Partners. This week, I have a special treat for you. Right next to me is my hubby. As I mentioned last week, Jeff and I have talked about doing a few conversations together here on the podcast. Just talking about our journey and how we have started working through different dysfunctional, unhealthy relational dynamics, starting with awareness and then working through processes to start developing more healthy patterns and responses. So I am looking forward to talking about all sorts of topics. How about you?
I'm looking forward to it as well.
He's laughing. And we'll see how it goes. Mostly, we'll see if Jeff is up for the journey of sharing in order to help you identify some situations that might resonate with you and your spouse in hopes of normalizing the process of building a strong, unshakable, intimate relationship with the one you're with. Even if it seems like an impossible pipe dream. To start with, sort of what I would say might be out of order, because I would think starting with these conversations, we might just talk a little bit about our marriage journey in general and then dig into some of the specific tools that I teach here on the podcast. But because I have just shared a three-part series over the last 3 weeks about how to work through the process of recognizing conflict, recognizing what happens inside of you, working through it on your own, and then having a process to be able to come back together with your spouse and work through the disagreement and come back together in connection and love and all the good stuff that we want. Because we've been talking about conflict, because I have been drawing up a class to share with you next year, in the beginning of next year, I thought we would start by talking about conflict. And it's the perfect time of the year to talk about it because the tensions are high, the anxiety is high for most people, I would say. And that is a perfect recipe for impatience and conflict. Because this is our first conversation, we're just going to see how it goes. Right, honey?
Going to be great.
All right. So I thought, I of course have notes like I always do. I am a note person. But we're going to start with just talking about our family of origin conflict styles. Family of origin is important because it's where we laid the foundation for how we show up in life. It is where we saw how things go, how when someone's not happy, how the other person reacts, whether it's just in interaction with us and our parents or watching how our parents interacted. Even if you didn't have two parents, there's still relational dynamics, and you know, your parent had a certain type of relational dynamic, which they learned from their family of origin and so on and so on. And all of these have kind of moved up through the years into how we show up. And it just like I talk about here so often, we each come into this world with our own little suitcase, our personalities and our sensitivities. And even though, like in Jeff's case, there was three kids that grew up kind of in the same circumstance, but not really, because they're years apart and things were different in their, you know, in their family home, or even in my home where we had, the same two parents, but a different dynamic. Like my brother and I could be in the same place, seeing the same circumstance, and we're two different people. So we will absorb that differently. So anyway, I'm going to let you talk about your family of origin conflict style and how we, of course, we started talking about all of this, because why? Because
we're working on our stuff.
Yeah. And because I'm a marriage coach and the reason I'm a marriage coach is because I love to help people, of course, do the work of feeling better in their marriage. But, you know, the old saying, we teach what we most need to learn. That for sure is the case for me. So I have done a lot of studying, of course, as you all know, in the topics of relationship. So why don't you share about your family of origin?
Sure. I first want to start by saying I love both my mom and dad very much. My father's passed, as you know. I think they did the best they could for the things that they had going at the time. But my parents were divorced when I was a young adolescent. I think I was in seventh grade, probably 13 years old. And I grew up for the majority of my young adult life with my father. So my mother was always in my life. It just, day-to-day stuff was with my dad. So a lot of my habits and hang-ups and things of that nature come probably from my father. So the conflict style in my home growing up was, for the most part, avoidance. Like, I really didn't see my mother and father arguing. And, you know, being married for the amount of time that they were married for, there was going to be some conflict. So we didn't see, at least I didn't see any conflict, any outward conflict, meaning yelling and screaming and arguing and that kind of stuff. So I would say that the majority of the resolution came from avoidance and kind of stick your head in the sand until it passes.
Yeah, and I think that one might think by looking at the relationship that everything was fine, right? You never saw any conflict, even though you might have felt something might have been off. But then because you shared that they got divorced, but kind of share how you... maybe you didn't become aware of their avoidant conflict till we actually started working on conflict. Is that the case? Or
yeah, I think that, I mean, in all the relationships that I've been in, whether it's friends or, you know, in the past, I think that has been my go-to style, has been to avoid it. Like I, you know, my profession is robust with conflict. So, you know, my conflict style at work is way different than my conflict style at home. So when I get home, I do not enjoy conflict. So I know I'm an avoider, and those are the things that we have been working on.
As far as my family of origin, I think I've talked about it. Sure I have, but since we're talking about it here, I grew up with a lot of screaming and yelling and cursing. I've talked about emotional immaturity and just unhealthy dynamics in the household that, and okay, maybe if there were, the yelling and screaming and then seeing resolution, but never seeing any sort of resolution, a lot of silent treatment. And so with that, for me, I mean, it was just the water I swam in, right? So I just thought, you know, and I had heard, well, we're Italian, that just happens. So that's what I would say to people, get over it. I'm Italian. But in our marriage, what happened initially is I carried that into the relationship. And then with you being an avoider, that didn't work out so well for me. So, because, you know, like when somebody can react, you kind of just like, okay, let's go. Then what I ended up doing is withdrawing. And actually, when there is conflict, when people are actually engaging, it is actually a way to keep connection. So I do want you to know that, that argument is actually an indication that you care about each other, and it is connection. It's not healthy connection, you know. So it was kind of my way too of trying to connect to that person, not in a healthy way. But then when Jeff just wouldn't react, it had me withdrawing as well. And that's where really it may have appeared more on the outside, like it was healthier, but that's really when the marriage started to distance itself, because at least when I was arguing, I was interacting, right? So now when I'm withdrawing and avoiding and he's avoiding, there's no connection, there's no interaction. I think that when I was able to stop exploding, it actually felt sort of good to me to know that I was, like, I guess, controlling that. And of course, I didn't really become aware of the fact that I was withdrawing until I really dug into all of this relationship work and the process of becoming a more emotionally intelligent person, becoming more of that emotional adult versus an emotional child. So I think there was a time there where it kind of, to me, it appeared healthier, but then over time, and I don't know how many years, I mean, it's been probably 6-7 years since I started kind of just really deciding that I wanted something different in my life. But for you, Jeff, what was the motivation to do something different when it came to sorting through differences and being able to confront things that you're either unhappy with or disappointed with in the marriage?
Well, I think just what you pointed out is when where we were at in our marriage as just being roommates and not really having a connection, and understanding that the conflict that we need to resolve isn't necessarily bad if it's an argument. It's really how to be healthy with your conflict. And that's really what you've been showing me, how to kind of grow into this different way to handle communication. So it was you were the one that brought this up 5-6 years ago about, I'm not super happy with our marriage. We need to do something. I'm definitely working on our marriage. What are you? And you, for the most part, put me on the spot saying, what are you actually doing so we can be healthy in our marriage? So,
yeah. And I remember that conversation. His answer caused a conflict that we did eventually work through. So, yeah. And you all know this, but the journey for me actually was a point where we really didn't know what was going to happen moving forward. And at that point, I chose to be like, okay, I need to work on my things. I need to learn how to find my happiness from within, really love myself, not be dependent on how somebody else is showing up to feel good, right? So I need to learn how to separate myself. We talk about this so much, that untangling process, but I needed to be able to pull myself out from the codependent, tangled up relationship that we had, which simply means that how I felt was very dependent on how Jeff was treating me, how he was showing up to me. And of course, for sure, you don't want a relationship where, oh, well, you know, find a way to love yourself and not showing each other love. But it's when you can stand on your own two feet, separate from your partner, that you're able to share that love without needing it. That's that differentiation that I talk about. So now what I would like to talk about is what each of us has done to work on our adaptive, now maladaptive, conflict styles.
Yeah, I think at first, you know, I was a little confused on the question when we had that, you know, 5-6 years ago, what are you doing? And really it was internally, you know, where am I going as a person and as a man? You know, I didn't seem to understand the value of mentorship, kind of goal setting, a lot of the things that the personal growth that you need to accomplish in order to be good with yourself, as I'm sure that Chris has talked about plenty of times about how you need to work on yourself before you can work on, you know, you can't really work on somebody else. But that's really where I focused on, what can I start to do in the books that I can read and the people I can listen to start to become a better man and a better person. So that's really where it started with me.
As far as what we have done and what I have done to work on my not so good conflict style, I have done exactly what I shared the past 3 weeks, those steps with, you know, of course I can't encapsulate everything in 3 30-minute podcasts. And of course, that's why you're going to want to sign up for the course when that is available. But it was the process of, one, having my own back and understanding that, understanding one very first, my emotions. What is actually even happening? What is going on inside of my body? Why is that happening? What story am I making that mean? Like, and actually, we're going to talk about a conflict we had today. But through that process, for me, the story is always something around, I'm not being respected, I'm being disrespected, I'm not being considered, I'm not worthy of attention. And through that, I know that that is an old story. And like I say here, that whatever Jeff is doing is about him. It's about something going inside of him. But if I can't articulate what it is I would like or what it is I need, then it just sits and festers inside of me and it doesn't help us learn. It doesn't help us understand each other. It doesn't bring intimacy. And this is where, like, when there's no connection, there's no emotional connection, all that sex is an act, right? There's It's just a checklist. It's something you check off the list. And so this is the process. If you're stuck in your marriage, you have to start unraveling. Why are you angry? What is it that you need? What story are you telling yourself about what is going on? And how can you separate that out and know that this isn't your story? This is about what's going on for them. What is the story that you kind of tell yourself when it comes to conflict?
Yeah, most of the time when we have some sort of conflict, it's what did I do wrong this time? And I'm not good enough at this particular thing or something. I always take it personally. I can relate that back to growing up playing athletics and, you know, not being good enough for certain things. So I'm sure that's where my I didn't do it right this time or my I'm not good enough comes from.
Yeah. And then so the work for Jeff is really identifying, okay, this is my story. I can ask, like, and for myself, I can ask, is this what you meant? And I can say, not at all. Or, yeah, I did. But that's not usually the case. So it is really, this is somewhat abstract, but it's really, okay, it's called transference. It's what I learned, you know, like growing up, kind of how I've been conditioned. And now I am transferring all that old story onto what is happening in this dynamic between the two of us. And for me, it's been the process of like, okay, this isn't my dad. This isn't my mom. This is Jeff. Sure, he could be saying the whole story, the same old story, but I'm an adult now. I get to decide how I want to deal with that, right? Let's talk about how our conflict has changed like over time. So, I mean, I did talk about we both talked about initially how we showed up. And then I do talk about this even in these last three episodes, in these last three shows where I'm talking about the steps to healing conflict, resolving conflict. I have talked about how you don't just do it once and you're a pro at it, right? How it's like learning how to ride a bike or learning how to walk. You have to take the step forward and bumble through it, right? And that's how you do that whole evaluation process. Okay, what did I do well? Well, I came back and I talked about it. What didn't go so well? Well, I couldn't maintain my emotions. I blew up. So what can I do different? I can just pause. I can try it again. I can stop the conversation before it goes further and just ask for a redo at a different time, right? I would say, you know, when we started, of course, I was kind of the driver in this process because I knew more about it, right? Jeff didn't understand, like, nobody knows how to do it. I shouldn't say nobody knows how to do it, but you have to be taught sometime, right? Somewhere along the line, you have to be taught. And if you haven't been taught in your family or if you haven't learned through education or practice. Of course, you can learn through education, but you have to practice, right? For me, it started out just what I've talked about, and I think I want Jeff to talk more about this, but it has been really that whole process of, okay, what am I feeling? Why am I feeling this? And I'm doing this after conflict has happened, right? I'm sorting through it, trying to figure it out, and not even fully coming back and resolving the conflict, which is okay. Once you know that you can actually resolve conflict, doesn't mean you need to start doing that right away because you have to figure out steps one and two first, right? And it's okay because you haven't been resolving conflict for how many years, right? So if you don't do it today, there's going to be another argument down the line that you're going to be able to keep working on. So who knows how long that took before I was like, okay, you know what? I got up the courage to say, to come back. I even had notes with me and can we talk on Monday night at 6 p.m. about the argument we had on such and such a day or whatever? And I brought notes with, and, you know, 5 minutes in, we were arguing and we stopped. And Jeff said he didn't want to stop. Well, I want to pound through this. And I said, no. And then we actually did it three times before we solved that conflict. And it wasn't fun, but it got us going. It certainly isn't perfect at all, but we are, the more you practice it, just like anything else, it starts to become what you do. And you also want to remember that conflict might not be an actual argument. It could be just something rubs you the wrong way, something really bothers you, and being able to notice that instead of just burying it and harboring that, whatever it might be, anger and whatever way you've dealt with it, whether it be a silent treatment or a passive aggressiveness or people pleasing and like everything's okay, it's okay, let's just move on and never dealing with it.
So I think our conflict has changed in a positive way. And I mean, we still have conflict and there's a lot of old habits that are hard to break. So there's always some good reminders from both of us, mostly on Chris's side, about, you know, this, that's not what you do after you ask this question, you answer this question. So I'll get into the defensive mode very quickly and easily. So being able to detach, like Chris said, you know, untangle those things that you have to do in order to solve those problems constructively. For me, it takes some intentionality. I have to be able to detach from whatever the specific conflict is that at that time. So I don't start taking it personally and I don't start getting defensive and I don't start falling into old habits that I have had for 54 years. So, it's just a work in progress and we continue to get better at it. But like I said, this morning was a perfect example of how, I needed to be reminded of some steps to take.
Should we share that argument?
Sure.
Let's see if I can remember it. Of course I can remember it. Yesterday was an amazing day. Jeff and I went to the airport, picked up my parents, brought them home, went for a walk. And then I came home and met with some friends. We went and did some shopping, my kind of shopping, thrift store shopping. And actually, I didn't buy Jeff a gift at the thrift store, but we had also gone to a holiday boutique thing, the Junk Bonanza, for those of you who have ever been. I got Jeff a little treat while I was there. I was thinking of him, and I brought it home. It was called Passion Popcorn, right? And I wrote on it, Passion Marriage, and I set it in his spot so that he would get it when he came home and see it. And of course, in my mind, I had totally figured out how he was going to respond to that. I figured he would give me a snuggle up and give me a big kiss when he got home from work. But he didn't, which was fine because I was sleeping. And then we get up and he lets the dogs out. I start doing things, and I was hoping he would say something then, and he didn't. And then he went back to bed and then got up, and I was waiting, 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 and nothing. So I don't even remember from there what happened, but what happened, honey? Do you remember?
Missed the part about I tried to talk to you about a conversation.
Oh, yeah. And then we were getting ready for church, And Jeff tried to start a conversation. And I said, he started the conversation by asking about my day, asking what I bought the day before, which is a trigger for me because I hear, I'm sure you spent way too much money. Anyway, so now you understand what a trigger is a little better. I just told him I will talk about that. I did not say this in my head. I said, we'll talk about this when we have breakfast after church. But I said, I didn't want to talk right now because I was busy or had things to do. So what happened from there, Stiffy?
Well, you advised me that I didn't say anything about the gift you left me.
Oh, yeah. Then I was filling dog Kongs, and so I left it for a while. I was hoping he might hint, hint, read my mind and see the popcorn there again and say, oh, honey, give me a big hug. Thank you so much for thinking about me. But he didn't. I kept waiting, and he didn't. So then I said, what did I say? He remembers it all.
You know what you said.
See, and I don't remember what I say because I'm emotionally dysregulated at the moment. We don't remember what happens. I go into freeze mode. We don't remember things in that state. Jeff remembers it all, though. He's got a magic memory. So what happened?
So we got into conflict about the popcorn.
Who knows exactly how it went down? I wish I had a video that I could show you all. But basically, I just said something to the effect that he hadn't said anything about the popcorn. And that I don't know what I said, but that it hurt my feelings that I had gotten him something and he was just ignoring it. I said it made me feel like it didn't matter that I was thinking about him the day before.
So on my end of it, I just started listening and then tried to explain my side of it. That I wanted to have this conversation, but she didn't want to talk, so I was going to bring it up then.
I remember. That's exactly what you said. And then I said, oh, so how are you going to bring it up? You're going to ask me about what I bought and what I did. And oh, by the way, thanks for the popcorn. That's like what I said is that's like an afterthought. The most important thing here was that I got you a gift and to acknowledge it.
Right. So as I was saying, that's how it went down. And I explained to her that I really appreciated it. She didn't want to hear it at that particular time. So we decided to shelf the conversation until later, at least an hour or so later, until we could both kind of get our emotions in check and come back later and use some techniques on how to ask for forgiveness and apologize and make sure that I understand how she felt about it. And so there was a perspective that I didn't, whether I didn't know or I just disregarded it, that I know now moving forward.
And then actually before we left, Jeff did come in while I was getting dressed or asked for forgiveness and gave me a hug and said he loved, because then through that, I kind of am able now to say, okay, you know, what I really need is for you to say, I love you. Thank you. Give me a, you know, and give me a hug and a kiss. That's what I want. So I'm able to share that now. I'm able to, yeah, that's what I want. And I can recognize that what's happening in this situation is I just want connection. And the old us, you know, so what would have happened in the old days is had I bought the popcorn and it just sat there, I would just let it eat me up inside. And, you know, like he might not ever say anything and maybe somewhere he might say thank you. And I don't say anything about it. And then passive aggressively, I don't buy popcorn anymore. I'm like, I'll show you. So, it is just kind of, and what would have happened is had he started like the conversation and like what he said, what did you buy? And I'm still focusing on that he hasn't said anything about what I've given him. I'm so focused on that. And that for sure was part of the reason why I didn't want to get engage in conversation, right? Because I was dysregulated. Had he, come up to me and said, hey, honey, thank you so much. That was so sweet. And given me a hug, my emotions would have been different and I probably would have been talkative, right? So these are the things that you learn. You start to understand what's going on inside of you, the things you need. And in the old days, right, maybe you would have tried to start the conversation. I would have been like focused on what you weren't doing. And I might have, who knows? I mean, in the early days, I would have just blown up and stomped off and probably not gone to church, not gone to breakfast, not done anything, been pissed off the rest of the day. Had he started the conversation and I just ignored him because I was focused on what he didn't do, then it would have been just like ignoring each other the rest of the day for the most part, wouldn't you say?
So yeah, that's just a lesson learned that I have. We continue to learn from each other every single day. So doesn't matter if you're married 9 years or 19 years. So when she does something like that, that's the recognition part is big for her. So just an understand that's on my end that I gotta be intentional about when I get a note or when I get a little treat or something like that, just to say, hey, thank you. I really appreciate the fact that you're thinking of me. Those are important to her. And that's really what came out of this conflict.
Yeah. And so what you're hearing is that we're not perfect and we're figuring out. And, 2-3 years ago, it wasn't even like this. We didn't even really know what we were doing. We were still trying to figure that out. So when it comes to what we still see as our weaknesses, when it comes to working through all the way through conflict, for me, I have just experienced, never in my life have I experienced resolved conflict. What resolved conflict, and it's not resolved conflict, looked like in the past was basically just leaving it in the past and moving forward like nothing happened. That's not resolved conflict. Resolved conflict is, actually what I would do as a parent. Like I would come back to my daughter and just say, hey, no excuse. I need to ask for forgiveness. This is what I did. I am sure this didn't feel good for you. How did this feel? I am so sorry. I am working on being better and just know that I love you, right? And that relationship mattered to me, as does my relationship with Jeff. And so, what I am still working through is being able to approach the conflict from a place of humility and grace and compassion. This today, I was waiting, hopefully he'll figure it out. And of course, I don't want to, just say, hey, what do you think of what I got you? I wanted him to step up. The way it ended up, I get a bit defensive. And so, but it's knowing that I don't want to sit with this for days. I want to just work through it because it doesn't take that long. Once you start like, okay, let's do it, it only takes a few minutes, really. What would you say is still your weakness when it comes to working all the way through conflict?
I think just addressing it as, without being, scared, for lack of better word, of conflict. So understanding that having a, you know, having a formidable partner makes you a better person. And Chris is one of those people that you have, we have, you know, conflict with each other. And it's just because we're together a lot and we share a lot of the same things and we have different experiences in our past. And I think just having someone that can actually put you on task in these conflicts and be able to work all the way through them and have a resolution at the end of the day and not just go and walk away and mumble under your breath, that was a stupid conversation about popcorn, right? So I figured out that it wasn't about the popcorn. It was about what she did and about the gesture that she made and me being cognizant to recognize that gesture was important to her. So like I said, that's a little example of a conflict that you go through and you're better because of it.
And that, of course, is why you hire a coach, to have somebody help you work through the process. So I am going to ask Jeff, right now he's entertaining the dog, but I'm going to ask him for one piece of advice that has helped him get better at addressing areas of conflict and following through all the way to the other side with reconnection and love. And this is from the guy's perspective, right? Because it is true. I've shared a little bit about the recent course that I went through, that women are more, not 100%, but women are more emotionally connected than men. And there is good reason for that. When you go back in time and you look at all the ancestral heritage and what's been passed down through the years, men have just really been conditioned to shut those emotions off, even though it's truly not necessary anymore. So it is really the work of breaking that. But I want him to share his piece of advice more for the guys that might be listening and for the women who are listening, so that they can better understand what's going on for their husbands.
Yeah, so I would just say that if you're going to approach these tools and skill sets that you're learning from Chris, that you approach this with some grace. That you give your husbands, if it's the gals that are listening, you give your husbands an opportunity to learn from this. And that, understand, it's not going to take you just telling them one time to run through these steps. It's going to take work on your end to be intentional with your husbands to say, remember, we talked about this. Let's go through this again, and try not to make it a personal attack and make it something about the process. And that, you know, for the guys, you just have to trust the process. The process does work. It is not easy to do, especially when you're conditioned to, you know, shut your emotions off and just get the job done, provide solutions to problems and those kind of things. I think once you understand that you can actually be vulnerable in front of your wife and tell her things that, you know, like, I'm scared to deal with this because when I dealt with this, when I was such and such, it didn't go so well. So they can have the perspective on why you're defensive about those particular items or conflicts that come up in your relationships. So I would just say for the ladies, just to approach it with grace, and for the guys to understand that, to trust that process, and the process does work, and it takes time.
All right. Thank you, honey, for joining me today.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure.
Are you coming back?
I don't think I have a choice.
He has a choice. You guys want him to come back. I know you do. All right. So thank you so much. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are about all of this. And I would suggest that you listen to this with your partner. Maybe play it at dinner or on a walk where you can both listen, so that they can also hear that guys do work through this stuff, and it's a good thing. I love you all. Ciao. Thank you for listening to the Awaken You podcast. If you enjoyed listening, then you have to go check out Awaken You, my one-on-one coaching program where we take all of this material and we apply it to your life, we study it, and we take it to your next level so that you can awaken you in your marriage. For any questions, comments, or coaching issues you'd like to hear on the podcast, please visit me on my website, and together, let's awaken you.